يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله والفضل كرم إحسان الله تعالى. الله رب العزة has allowed for us to gather to make some mudakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. This is a great ni'mat, very, very big ni'mat, if Allah Ta'ala allows for us to spend some time studying His words and the words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is nothing greater than the words of Allah Ta'ala, and after the words of Allah Ta'ala, then it is the words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes these programs that take place, etc., we may consider it as something small. We just took out 1 hour, we went, we listened, we heard something. But if it is accepted by Allah Ta'ala, then on the day of Qiyamah, when we see the reward, see the thawab for this, then we ourselves will be surprised. I just took it like this 1 hour, I just went, listened to something, met a few people of the town, maybe some friend of mine I didn't see for a long time, I got to meet that person also. But when we go to Allah Ta'ala, we see the reward, the sawab for all of this, then we ourselves will be surprised. So Allah Ta'ala, you know, we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that He has kept these opportunities for us in our country. Every now and again we have programs, and we don't have to only wait for people from out of town to come. So many programs take place by the local ulama, etc. We must take advantage of it. So many madaris send our children to the madrasas, let them get educated. Sometimes shaitan tries to paint the madaris in a negative light. Oh, what those girls are doing there. That one girl who goes there, she's so naughty also. My neighbor's son went to the Darul Uloom, he became a smoker. So some negative, now that will happen anyway. The person who comes with a wrong intention, or the person already had those bad habits, so they will bring those same bad habits and come to the madrasa. That doesn't mean the madrasa is teaching those habits. But shaitan doesn't allow us to think of all those diamonds and those stars that came out from those same institutes. So we must take advantage, whether it is the work of Tabligh, Jamaat has come to the area, encourage our menfolk. That go spend time with the Jamaat. Offer to make some nusrat, whatever nusrat we can make. If it is a Masturat Jamaat, offer our homes. If it is a visiting alim, he is having some programs, again, encourage our menfolk, our bigger children, etc., encourage them. Go and sit for program, go and learn something. Give encouragement. So whatever type of dini program is taking place, as long as the program is within the parameters of the Shariat, that is the important thing. The program must be within the parameters of the Shariat. The person who is conducting the program, everything must be done according to Shariat, Sunnah, and whatever the person is saying, that obviously must be haq. Then we must, wherever it is for ladies, etc., then the ladies must attend. And if it is for the men folk, then we must encourage our men folk to go be a part of it. So we will try and discuss one hadith sharif. Hazrat Khalid bin Amr Adawi rahimahullah. So he is a tabi'i. So he says that Sayyiduna Utbah bin Ghazwan radiyallahu ta'ala, he delivered a khutbah. He addressed us. So it is mentioned that this address took place when he became the governor of Basra. When he became the governor of Basra, this address took place. So he was the Amir, he was the governor of Basra. So he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said that verily this world, it has announced its departure. It has announced that it is coming to an end. Just by looking around, you look at the changes that take place. How things are deteriorating. That in itself tells us that this world is going away. Allah Ta'ala has told us this world is going, it's coming to an end. We look into our own bodies and we see the changes. We see the changes in our own bodies. Those that are now, you know, in the 50s, what the person could do when they were 20 years old, they can't do now when they are 50 years old. The interest that a person had when the person was 5 years old, 10 years old, those interests changed when the person became 20 years old. And then when the person goes to 40, 50, then now the person looks at the world differently. There's a different approach. So this world has announced that it is coming to an end. Right? It's coming to an end swiftly. And Utbah bin Ghazwan radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that nothing is left of this world but a very little amount. That means if we have to turn the clock back, now Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, when he came, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam came. And after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there's no Nabi to come. So there's nothing left now of the dunya. There's no other Nabi to come, no other Sharia to come, no other divine scripture to come. It's all over now. It's finished. This is the last divine scripture. The last Nabi has come. We are the last Ummah. So nothing is left of this world now. There's no other Ummah to come. And the example he gave to describe how much is left of this world, he said that if you take a glass or a container and you drink the contents, there's water, juice, sarbat, whatever it may be, you drink the contents and you put the cup down. So always you'll find there's a little bit at the bottom of the cup. You drink a cup of tea, you try to finish it all, you put it down, you'll find that from the walls of the cup is one, two drops that settle at the bottom of the cup. So he said that that is the only thing that is left of this world. That little bit that is left at the bottom of the cup, that's the only time that is left of this world. So its end is very, very close. Its end is very, very near. And then he said that you are moving towards an abode, meaning the abode of the hereafter. You are moving towards an abode, and this abode knows no end. The world has announced that it is coming to an end. You are moving towards an abode which has no end. There's no end to it. And you should proceed there with the best that you can take and go. In other words, we have to, our iman needs to be of a good quality, number one. Number two, whatever nek amal we can accumulate, we must accumulate that amal and take it and go. Every moment that we can spend accumulating nek amal, we must not be in ghaflat. A lady, a lot of her time goes in housework. Either she's cooking, or she's seeing to something in the house, or she's seeing to the children, whatever it is. While the lady is cooking, what stops her from Durood Sharif? What stops her from Istighfar? You are busy with your work in the kitchen. What stops the lady from putting on one bayan? Listening to it. The best is obviously to sit now with concentration and listen, etc. But sometime, I mean, there's nobody else in the house. The children are gone, madrasa, husband is gone. You are busy with some kaam. You can't leave the kitchen now. Everything will burn and everything, you know. So you can't just leave everything and go. Put one bayan on. Listen to the bayan. Have ta'aneem in the house. Have some kitab that we read. This is our life. We are mu'mineen. In this era, when we talk about spending our time in ibadat, not to say you got to sit on the musalla only. No. Different forms of ibadat. Different types of ibadat. Right? Some ladies, they get involved in charitable work from their homes. I know some ladies, they make sandwiches. So they share out the work. This lady will say, okay, I'll contribute 3 loaves sandwich. That one will say, I'll do 1 loaf. That one will do 2 loaves. So they make these sandwiches. Simple sandwiches. And then somebody comes and collects all these sandwiches. So the lady is in her house. She's not leaving her house. Somebody comes, collects all these sandwiches. And then they take it to the hospital. You go to the hospital. There are people that come from 3-4 in the morning. Because they're coming from dur, far off places. In the bigger cities, some people come the night before. They spend the night outside the hospital, the whole night, just to be in the line the next day, get checked up by the doctor, collect some medication. So these ladies, what they make these sandwiches. And somebody comes and picks up all these sandwiches now and goes away to the hospital. And all those people in the line, they give them one sandwich. Some people buy one small juice or an apple or something, make it like a little pack, and they give it to them. So now that is what a neki, what an ibadat from the house. Person from the house is doing, the lady is doing from the house. So different types of ibadat we can get involved in. Sometimes we may have a maid in the house who is not a Muslimah, to talk to her about deen. The other day, Hazrat Muhammad Hamid Sahib was mentioning that we got sometimes Muslim staff. But are we worried about their deen? Getting our calm out of them. If they fall short in their calm, we will reprimand. But are we showing any interest in their deen? Having some sort of a ta'aneem with them. Checking whether they are reading namaz. Now all this can be khidmat of deen from the house. And time is going in ibadat. So when we talk about this, right, then people say, hey, you know what, man? We need some off time. We need some free time also. We need to go do some other things. We can't only now be in ibadat all the time. Sometime it is sad. You know, you get some people, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them. Almost every year they go for Umrah. So one, two husbands, I've heard this from them. They said that, Maulana, this year, my wife, she doesn't want to go for Umrah. The man is going alone now with some friends, he's going for Umrah. They say, but why don't you take your family and go? Say, you know, this year she doesn't want to go for Umrah. She said, now last 3 years we went for Umrah. Now she wants to go for a holiday. So you go for your Umrah and come, and then I want to go for a holiday. So this mindset that that I need a holiday, or you know what, we need a break also, man. We need to do some other things. I'm talking about other than dini activities. I need to do some other things. And so this feeling, it's correct. Right? This feeling is correct. But the time and place needs to be right. The time and place is Jannat. The time and place where you don't have to make no ibadat. You can be totally heedless. You don't have to worry, no responsibilities, nothing. You just do what you want to do. That is Jannat. Not in the dunya. Yes, you can have light-hearted moments. You can have happy moments with your family. You can sit and play a nice game with your children. Nobody said all that is haram. But there's no taking off from deen. Those things will all be like salt in the food. But there's no taking off from deen. That now I'm going to go for a holiday and I'm just going to now, you know, forget about everything. No. Even if we go on a holiday, what we call a holiday, how much Quran Sharif I'm supposed to be reading every day, I still have to read it. All my namaz still have to get performed. The same type of parda that I am maintaining at home, that same parda I have to maintain even if I'm out of the house. So there's no change when it comes to those ahkam, it comes to those laws. We just have to make sabr for a short while, the life of this world. And our time for enjoyment is coming. Our time for enjoyment is coming. Day Allah Ta'ala will give us the authority to make the rules. In the dunya, Allah Ta'ala has given us the rules. You will live your life pleasing me. Your time will come when I will allow you to live a life that's pleasing to you. So we are going towards that Darul Akhirah, the hereafter, after this dunya. See, we're not from this dunya. And this dunyavi life is not our first existence. We were already existing in Alam-e Arwah before we came in the world. One phase of our journey is over. Alam-e Arwah. Can we recall anything of Alam-e Arwah? We can't recall anything. But we were there longer than we are here. So don't think the worldly life is long. That life in Alam-e Arwah was much, much longer than this worldly life. Much, much longer. And that life in Alam-e Arwah, it has an effect on our life here in this world. The souls that we were acquainted through there will be the people that we will befriend over here. The people that we were not acquainted to there, we won't really be able to, as they say, gel and with those people over here. Right? So it has an effect on this life. But the point here is, that life is much longer. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years. When the lady conceives, then Allah Ta'ala, after the period of time, Allah Ta'ala then sends the angel to blow the ruh into that fetus. Right? So the doctors then say, now the child got a heartbeat. The soul now came. So the soul came from where? From Alam-e Arwah. From when is the soul there? Because Adam alayhi salam already saw all the souls. Adam alayhi salam, Allah Pak showed him all the souls. So from Adam alayhi salam zamana, we are there in Alam-e Arwah. How long? how many thousands of years. But we can't remember anything of it. Nothing of it. Now with regards to this world, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one hadith sharif, that a person who went through a lot of difficulties in this world, he had the most trying life. The most, every difficulty, think of Gaza. Just think of Gaza. An orphan child growing up in Gaza. Think of that child's halat and condition now. A person like that, but they remained with iman, they remained with taqwa, they passed away with the iman intact. This person will be taken and dipped into Jannat. Dipped. That's how you dip a maribiscuit. You don't dip it too long, the maribiscuit will fall down inside the tea. So you just dip it short while. So like that, this person will just be put into Jannat for a short while and taken out. And this person will be asked, did you ever suffer any hardships in your life? The person will say, no, never. The whole memory of dunya will be wiped out. The enjoyment of Jannat is such that the entire memory of the world, whole Gaza bombing, no food, being shot at, everything forgotten, gone. One moment in Jannat. And the opposite is also true. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person who, I'm just talking our terminology, the person was living it up, had every luxury at the click or a tap of the finger. Every luxury, every amenity, wealth, health, anything you can think of, the person got it. All the, whatever the person wants to do, live their dreams, right? Live their dreams, whatever they want to do. But the person was a kafir. Disbelieving in Allah Ta'ala, living a life of disobedience, that person will be taken and dipped into Jahannam. Taken out and he will be asked, did you ever experience any good time in your life? Say, never. The whole memory of the dunya, whatever holidays the person went, today you know, Allah maaf kare, everything people want to document. There was a time in the Bani Israel when if a person committed a guna, the next day the guna would be written on the person's door. What guna the person committed at night. Allah Ta'ala protected us from this. Allah protected us. He kept our izzat. But we, on our own, go and tear that izzat. Facebook, Instagram, I don't know where and where. Now we're posting pictures, we're sending things. Wrong things. So this person lived it up, overseas holidays, went to every dream destination, bought whatever they wanted to buy, how many handbags, how much jewelry, how many shoes, how many outfits, whatever. But dipped for one instant in Jannah, when the person is asked, did you ever enjoy any good times in your life? The whole memory, the horror of Jahannam is such that the person's whole memory is wiped out of the dunya. Whole memory is wiped out. Never experienced any enjoyment in the whole life. So the proof of that well, you think now, but how can that be? The proof, Allah, we are living proof. We only going to live here 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, illa mashallah, one, two people, 100 years. And there we live for thousands of years. We can't remember anything of it once we came in this dunya. So once we go there, this whole hardships will be forgotten. And now it will just be enjoyment. Allah Pak will just give, whatever you want to do now, you finish, make me happy, now I'll make you happy now. Now you enjoy yourself now, no rules. So we are, our journey is to that place, an everlasting place, not a fickle place like the world. In the world you can't enjoy yourself. You know, sometimes a family, they plan on holiday. They say, no, we're going. Saved up the money, booked the tickets, everything. Excitement is there, we're going. En route, you on the way, you get one mayat notice. One family member passed away. Khalas, you go to turn around, come back, it's a close family member. Now can you go on holiday? You go on holiday, you think, right, I'm going to enjoy myself now. You go there, your two-year-old got diarrhea, your four-year-old got fever. What holiday are you going to have? That's the world. The world is not a place to enjoy. Yes, there is good in the world also. Allah has given good food. Allah has provided us halal, tayyib food. Allah has given us good homes. Allah has given us good partners. Allah has given us naked children. Allah has given us comforts. In the cold, we got things to keep us warm. In the heat, we got things to keep us cool. These are all comforts of the world. There's nothing wrong with utilizing it. But there's no such thing as I'm going to enjoy myself in the world. You can plan how much you want to plan. One small thing will happen. Khalas. Whole plans are all gone upside down. In Jannah, in the Akhirat, nothing can spoil your plans. You won't even get a headache. In Jannah, you'll have no needs. No needs at all. In Jannah, the person eats for enjoyment. You don't eat for nourishment. You don't eat because you're experiencing hunger. That's a weakness. You eat because I want to enjoy eating that. I want to enjoy eating this. You eat for enjoyment. You dress for enjoyment. You choose the weather. How you want the weather, that's how the weather will be. You choose your times. You choose so much so, you take in the dunya, what an industry. What an industry. I mustn't age. Even if I'm aging, I mustn't look like I'm aging. Big industry for that, right? Millions and millions are being spent on that industry. Jannah, you don't have to bother about that. Don't have to worry about it. In fact, the people of Jannah, every week, Allah Ta'ala enhances them. Allah enhances them. In the dunya, when you got married, so that time, how the husband was looking, how the wife was looking, they're young. Oh, eh? After that, koi nana hua, koi nani hui. Now that, Hazrat Shah Ki Makhtar Sahib used to say, that the hair now became like a donkey's tail. The husband, he's gone bald now. Now the eyes too are, you know, not so strong vision like when you are younger. Wrinkles, all these things are happening. This ache over here, that pain over there. Right? So as you age, the body starts deteriorating. But Jannah, such a system Allah Ta'ala has given, the longer you stay there, every week you are being enhanced. Every week you are being enhanced. So this Jannah is something, you know, such a thing we can't imagine. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Ma la aynun ra'at, wa la udunun sami'at, wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar." No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has perceived. This is how this Jannah is. Now, how can we spoil our chances for that Jannat, for paltry things of the world, temporary things of the world, which may or may not come. Just see, right? The dunya. Look at the reality of the dunya. We are all buying diesel cars, eh? You know, we can do more mileage, we can visit somewhere. The diesel cars now, you get better fuel consumption, right? Now look at the price of diesel. Now the people with diesel cars, they want to get rid of the diesel cars now, want to get petrol cars. People with petrol cars want to get electric cars. The dunya, there was one company, I don't know if it affected so much people in Joburg. The people in Natal were really affected. One company that was for an investment company, you know. So many people invested. Some couples, now they worked their whole life, they accumulated some money, they're in their old age. Now they said, okay, sir, you know what, let's take our money, we're getting good returns here, let's take this money, put it in there, and now we'll pass our days. The return from there will take care of our expenses, we pass our days. So people thought that now we are set, right? The whole company goes into problem. Now people who thought they are set, now they're pareshan. So many of them now can't pay rent, can't pay lights and water, can't meet their expenses. Where you thought now, yeah, I'm done now, I worked, you know. Now you are in problem. That is the world. That is the world. So many examples like this, if you think, you'll find some people bought prime properties, which was regarded as prime property. And in a few years' time, now there's no value to the property. People took pride sometime in building a house in a certain area. A couple years' time, now they're trying to see how I can sell this house and move to another area. Because this area now is finished now. That's the world. It's so temporary, so temporary, right? And we are moving towards an everlasting world. Let us not spoil our chances, you know. Don't spoil our chances. So he continues with his address. He says that it has been mentioned to us, that a rock or a stone that is thrown into Jahannam, it continues falling for 70 years. That's longer than many lifespans. Right? Continues falling for 70 years and it still doesn't reach the bottom. But by Allah, he says, by Allah, this Jahannam will be full. Jahannam will be full. And then he asked the congregation, "Afa'ajibtum?" That are you surprised? Such a huge place, such a big place can get full. But it is going to get full. And on the other hand, he says, it has also been mentioned to us that the distance between the door frame, one part of the door frame to the other part of the door frame, from the door of Jannat, the distance between the two of them, this is a distance of 40 years. It takes a person 40 years to go from one door frame to the other door frame. And there will come a time, there will come a day when that Jannat too will be crowded. In other words, it will be full. The last person to come out of Jannat, Allah Ta'ala will tell him to go, the last person to come out of Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala will tell him to go to Jannat. So he will go and it will be made to seem like there's no place. It's full. So he will come back and he will say, Ya Allah, Jannat is full. So Allah Ta'ala will say, no, you go. Put. So I think two or three times it's mentioned that he will go and he'll come back and he'll say it's full. Then Allah Ta'ala will ask him, that would it please you to have a Jannat 5 times the size of the world? So he will say, definitely, O Allah, I'll be pleased with that. So Allah Pak will tell him, you'll have double that. In other words, 10 times the size of the world. He's mentioned in the riwayat, he will ask Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, you are the Rabb, you know. And you're joking with me. You're joking with me. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned this Hadith Sharif, he too started smiling. Then how this person will address Allah Pak, that Ya Allah, you're joking with me. So this person will go to Jannat and he will have a Jannat 10 times the size of the world. Right? But Jahannam is also going to get full. Just as there will be Jannatis, there will also be Jahannamis. Now, the choice is ours. Allah Ta'ala has given us the choice. That my Banda, my Bandi, make up your mind. Choose correctly. Choose correctly. Don't make the wrong choice. You see, Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an incident that took place. I'm not going into the details of it, we don't have the time. But Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had separated himself from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So after the separation time was over, 1 month, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma'isha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and he told her to see, I am going to give you a choice. Right? But I don't want you to make up your mind until you go and consult your parents. Because Ma'isha radiyallahu anha was young. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her a lot. He had a lot of muhabbat for her. All the Ummahatul Mu'mineen and even the people of Madinah Munawwara radiyallahu anhum and Unna Ajma'in all knew the muhabbat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Ma'isha radiyallahu anha. This is why when anybody wanted to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a hadiah, they would wait that when is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's turn by Ma'isha radiyallahu anha. Then they'll send the hadiah. So it was no secret. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling her that I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to give you a choice. That either you choose Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but then obviously you have to now brace yourself for a life of qurbani, a life of sacrifice, a life of zuhud. You're not going to have the luxuries of the world. Or you can choose the world. You can choose the world. And Allah Ta'ala will give you. But then you can't remain as one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. You've got to make your choice now. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was worried that she mustn't make the wrong choice. But Allah Ta'ala, you know, Ma'isha radiyallahu anha, she was Ma'isha radiyallahu anha, after all. So she told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's there to think about? What's there to think about? What's there to still go and consult parents and all that? I have chosen Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spontaneously she gave. Right? Now we too, let us check. Who are we choosing? What are we choosing? Remember this one Hadith Sharif of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're going to have to take a knock somewhere. Either we take a knock in the world and we earn Jannat, or we're going to take a knock in Jannat and live it up in the world. That's the choice given to us. So we need to choose now which way we're going to go, what choice we're making. Follow the example of Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma'isha radiyallahu anha. Make her choice. That I am choosing Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, If there's anything that is in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, then that's not for me. If there is anything that is contrary to the sunnah of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that's not for me. I have chosen Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's going to be my life. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq. Gee. So then he continues and he says, now he is describing the difficult life they experienced in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that I have seen me, in other words, he's recalling an incident, that I was one of seven people. That means we were a jamaat of seven with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we didn't have any food. We didn't have any food except the leaves of trees. That we were reduced to this, that we had to now eat the leaves of trees. So much so that we developed blisters in our mouths. But out of desperation to survive, today's time the youngsters, and maybe Albus also, too much they want to watch all survival things. The youngster is watching YouTube, say, what you're watching is haram to watch you. Say, no, Mawlana, I'm just checking survival. We're learning things here. We're learning how to survive. That is not survival. They're bluffing the world, man. They're not alone there. Who's making the whole video for them there? They're not even sleeping there in the bush. They go sleep in a hotel. It's all just one big fast. Survival, read about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read about Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Maisha radiallahu anhu, she says, 3 moons we witnessed, 2 whole months, the stove never came on. The stove never came on, 2 months. So what were you eating? Water and khajur. For 2 months. We keep roza, water and khajur is the start of the starters. If we had water and khajur, that's like not counted, man. That's just like, no, we just broke our fast. Then now come the savouries. Then after the savouries also is not the meal. That's just the savouries. No, only 8 savouries. Now comes the meal. And now after eating, then now you got to seal it off with something. Now there were some dessert, some ice cream, some milkshake, something. And if there's any space anywhere, then the hadim must do the trick. Must just fill in all the gaps everywhere. That's how we live in. Even kings of the past never lived like how we live in. Our lives. Right? So he says that we got blisters in our mouth. And then he says that one day I found a piece of material. So I tore this material in half and I distributed it between me and Sa'd bin Malik radiallahu anhu. That we had no clothes. So I just found this material and we tore it. He took half that he can clothe himself with it. I took half I can clothe myself with it. So he says, today we have become governors. Today we have become governors. So we need to contemplate over this. That this deen of Allah Ta'ala, the deen of Allah Ta'ala, you take me now, right? Take me now. We say we came out in the path of Allah. We came to come conduct, to talk about Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to propagate the deen of Allah. How he went? No food. Nobody giving dawat, they come by my house and offer meals. They eating leaves of the trees. That is how deen came alive. That was the seeds that were planted. Today we say we're going to do deen work. be flying in luxury, driving in luxury. People want to feed you more food than you can eat. More food than you can eat. Meal, tea time, dessert time, this. You want to rest? No, I've got room for you to rest. Any of your needs, what your needs are, we'll take care. So has Allah Ta'ala not been kind to us? Allah knows our weakness. Allah Ta'ala is not expecting us to do what the Sahaba Nahum did. Allah has given us an easy way to earn Jannat because Allah knows we weak. Allah Ta'ala knows we weak. But now, after Allah gave us all the comforts, Allah Ta'ala gave us the comforts, Allah Ta'ala gave us the amenities, we are weak, we can't do without it. But now, after having all of this, and then if we still lead a life in a disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, now how bad that is on our part. How bad that is on our part. One is if we never have anything. We never have absolutely. Like Sahaba, like people in Gaza, etc. They got nothing. So now, they are worried more about where my next meal is going to come. They are pareshan. They don't know next bomb where it's going to come from. They have got all that anxiety, all that worries. Now we don't have those worries. We don't have those issues. So, won't we be failing in our loyalty to Allah Ta'ala? Won't we be failing in our gratitude and loyalty to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If despite Allah Ta'ala, after giving us so much, and then we still lead a life in a disobedience of Allah. Now what causes us to go into the disobedience of Allah is when we start feeling that we are an authority to ourselves. That nobody must tell me. I'll do what I want to do. And this is exactly how Hazrat Utbah bin Ghazwan radiallahu anh concludes this hadith sharif. He did this khutbah of his. He says, وَإِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي نَفْسِي عَظِيمًا وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ صَغِيرًا. He says that I seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala, that I must consider myself to be somebody great, whereas in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, I am insignificant. I am nothing. So I must not, what is the meaning of considering myself great? We may say that, no, I'm a very humble person. I'm not haughty. I talk to people nicely. Is that a piaro self? Or what is it? Because if I really humble myself, then the first being that I got to humble myself in front of is Allah Ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, this is your command. How can I break it? Who am I to break your command? This is the sunnah of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who am I to go contrary to that sunnah? I can't go contrary to that. Who am I? I'm just an insignificant person. I can't go contrary. So this is true humility. True humility is this, to humble ourselves, submit ourselves. You know, when we were in the maktab, so we learned the fifth kalima. So in the fifth kalima, say, aslamtu wa amantu wa aqulu la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So when we learned the translation, what they told us, I submit myself and I say, I submit myself, I believe and I say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasul. So what is that submission? That submission is this, that every command of my Allah, I submit myself to it. Every sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I submit myself to it. So we have to make a start. We go to make a start somewhere, whatever our weaknesses may be. Never become complacent and think, no, I'm fine. I'm in parda. I'm reading my 5-10 namaz, so I'm okay. No. Maybe I'm making rebirth. Maybe I've got jealousy. Maybe I've got lalach for the world, greed for the world. I don't know what's my situation. Right? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I saw majority of the inmates of Jahannam to be women. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by one of the sahabiyat, said, why? Why the woman? So one of the reasons Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave is you are ungrateful to your husbands. You are ungrateful to your husbands. Another reason is you curse a lot. You curse a lot. So I'm not saying all of you are ungrateful. Some of you may be very, very grateful also. But what I'm saying is, I'm just trying to highlight different weaknesses that we may have. So don't just think, no, I'm reading my namaz, I'm in parda, so I'm fine. Everything is okay. No, I've got to check my life. Am I falling short anywhere? I need to make those changes. Right? Am I treating my mother-in-law and my father-in-law like how I treat my mother and my father? You know, I was so touched the other day. One couple came to see me. I don't think I would even have the courage to do what that lady did. I know this couple for many years. And they went through a lot of problem with the family. The husband was kicked out of the business. The mother-in-law, ill-treated the daughter-in-law and whatever. There's a long history. So every time they used to come for advice and we'll tell them make sabr and do this and do that and whatever. Eventually, now, the mother-in-law has taken ill. And there's nobody to look after her. This daughter-in-law told her husband, you bring your mother home. Bring her to our house. I will look after her. But what a neki. What a neki for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So each one of us we need to check. Am I good to my neighbors? Whatever our situation may be, let us check where we need to make the changes. Let us make the changes. Let us turn to Allah Ta'ala. Life is short. Life is short. When we're going to breathe our last breath, we don't know. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman. Allah accept the hajj of the hujjaj. Allah Ta'ala accept the qurbanis of all those who want to make qurbani. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to honor these last few days of Zulhijjah, the last days that are left of the Ashara. And Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to try and spend the nights also in some form of ibadat. Allah Ta'ala be pleased with us. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته